Good morning. Very beautiful day today. I'll just get started. I'm going to talk about counting your blessings today. And before I get started too far, I would like to read the song. You know, we sing these songs all the time, but we're supposed to understand what we're singing and mean what we're singing when we're singing it. So it says, when upon life billows, you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the day go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings. You know, if people would just count their blessings these days, I believe the world would be a different world. If they would just count their blessings, things wouldn't be so discouraging all the time. There's too much negativity going on in this world today. Everybody looks at all the bad things, but everybody never looks at the positive of anything anymore. I know counting my blessings is what helped me through bad times. It what shows me that God is always with me, no matter what, even though it doesn't seem that way, he is. But when I was a new Christian, you know, I was told one of the first things you got to do is stop being around the people that was influencing you in a bad way before. Stop being around those people. Get away from them. Those people were my support, family and friends. You know, when I was growing up in Benton Harbor, it wasn't easy for me at all being a mixed person. I never knew whether somebody was going to be friendly to me or if I was going to be attacked, because that did happen to me a lot when I was growing up. And I would have friends and I would have family who would come to my aid at times and help me out. But now as a Christian, I have to get away from those same people. Something like Abraham. And Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. That must have been hard. You ever thought about that, about Abram? Everything that he knew for his whole life was where he was. And he's being told, you have to leave all that and go somewhere where the Lord told him to go. You talk about the faith that it took to do that. Must have been scary. Putting all your faith in the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people who today are saying, you ever heard somebody say, when I get my life right, I'll come to the Lord. What they're saying is, when I'm ready to leave these people, when I'm ready to leave this life finally, then I'll come to the Lord. But they don't have that trust. They don't have that faith just yet, or maybe never in some cases, that the Lord will be with them. But I tell you something, when you see yourself still going along, still making it without these same people. You should be able to see the trail of blessings behind you. That's if you're growing. Because in order to count your blessings, you got to believe that you have been blessed in the first place. And as you go through some things, now that you are a Christian, what you should be able to do is look back and say, God was with me that whole time. That should strengthen you, as I said before, knowing that the Lord is with you. But, you know, when I was a new Christian, there was times when I was ready to turn back. And I was ready to turn back because of all the things that I was facing at the time. Let me give you an example. Hadn't been a Christian too long. It was November. I had just had a lot of dental work done. And I was looking at a long bill. Long time paying that bill. And on top of that, we needed a car. So in that November, we went out and we bought a car and we agreed to make the payments and the insurance and all that good stuff that goes along with it. Finna face winter, usually the slower time of the year for me when money isn't quite that right. A week after we got that car, wife found out that the place she was working closed. Wasn't no more income coming for my wife. That kind of left me with everything. But a week after that, my boss calls me and tells me that I'm being laid off immediately. Now you think about that. I got the house to take care of. I got car notes. I got bills. I got all this other stuff. And I felt like I was all alone. I didn't know what to do. You know, still being a young Christian, wanting to believe, wanting to have that strength, but at the time it just seemed to be so overwhelming for me. And it kind of reminds me of the Israelites in Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14, right around verse 10, see, they had made it to the Red Sea and their backs was against the water. And in verse 10 it says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." You know, I was actually looking back at that time, how I would have dealt with that same situation before I became a Christian. And now my back is up against the wall and I don't know what to do. But I like what Moses said in verse 13 of that same chapter. He said, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" I'm telling you, that was hard to do for me. I wanted to go out and do so many other things that I could have done to try to come up with that money. But I decided I was going to wait on the Lord. I'm a Christian now. I got to do it. And let me tell you what happened. I'm somewhat of a handyman of sorts. All of a sudden, somebody asked me about painting for them. So I got a job doing a little painting. Then I got another little job doing this, another little job doing that. The money trickled in. And as it trickled in, I was paying the bills and I was doing, I wasn't even really realizing what was going on at the time. And it kept on and it kept on until I finally started working again. And then after I looked back, and all I could do was say, wow. Never missed one payment. Not one car note, nothing. Sure, we wasn't rich. Sure, we didn't win the lotto or nothing. But we didn't go a day without having food. We had electricity. We had heat. We had everything we needed. God got me through. Got me and my family through. After that year, I was always able to look back and see all the Lord did to bless us. And that was a lot. So much so that when new problems arose, I was able to deal with them through faith in God. And some of y'all know about this, because this only happened a few years ago. Not too many years ago, my son was dying. Not too many years ago, my mother-in-law was in trouble. My wife had blood clots in her legs. We had financial problems, big time. And for the first time in my life, I wasn't worried. Never worried about it at all. I came here, asked the brothers and sisters to pray for me. Everywhere there was brothers and sisters, I asked them to pray. But I never had a doubt in my mind that the Lord wasn't going to be behind us in one way or another. It wasn't going to be maybe the way that I would like him to be, or I thought anyway was the best way, but it was the best way in his way. And it all worked out. It all worked out. We came out of it with flying colors. Kind of reminds me a little bit about Abraham. All that he had went through. And then all of a sudden the Lord comes to him and says, I want you to sacrifice your son. How hard could that have been? But after everything that Abraham must have been through in the past, something must have told him that God was going to be there and everything was going to be all right. His son Isaac asked him, you know, we got the wood here, we got the fire, but where's the lamb? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide. And he certainly did. Sometimes I wonder, would Abraham have been able to go through that if that was the first thing the Lord asked him to do? But after his faith was built up to a point that he saw that God was taking care of him, that God's way was the right way, was he able to go through that? I think because his faith was built up and his belief in God was there and it was strong. And he knew that somehow, some way, he was still going to have a son as the Lord had promised. Let's look at Psalms 40 real quick. I like what David has to say here. Psalms 40, verse 1. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. David had a lot of faith in God. And you can see that through most of his life in the stories that we read about him. Now, getting back to the people who I was talking about earlier, who I thought was my support, you know, when I come to think about it later on in life, all of the things that those people had done for me was great. But at the same time, there was a lot of things that had I stayed with them would have got me in trouble. See, some of them are no longer with us. Some of them died violent deaths or died deaths from other things that they shouldn't have been doing. I have some friends and family who are in prison right now. And some still living as they did years ago, just full of trouble. Sometimes we don't have the foresight to see what God sees. Sometimes we don't know what God knows. So getting us away, or getting me away from these people, was a blessing. Counting my blessings keeps me out of trouble. You know, if David had only remembered and counted his blessings, maybe he wouldn't have done what he did in 2 Samuel chapter 11 with Bathsheba. You know, one sin tends to go on to another and another and another. He got caught up in that. You know, people, I have customers. Some customers I've had for over 20-some years. And one of the reasons why is because they trust me. They trust me in their houses. They trust me to do what I'm there to do and to leave. I have some people who talk to me and they say, well, you know, I don't know if I can trust you in my house. I have valuables and this and that. And you know, I tell people, there's nothing that they have in their household that's valuable enough for me to give up the blessings that God will bestow on me. Nothing. Can you imagine me taking some little thing from somebody's house, give me pleasure for a minute, and lose the blessings of God forever? Think about that. You know, we live paycheck to paycheck. I'm not going to sit up there and do nothing to mess them blessings up. And people might say, well, you know, everybody says it. But you know what? Over the years, I prove it. Go ask your neighbor next door is what I tell them. I treat their house for 20 years. Not bragging or nothing. I just don't. I'm here to do my job and to move on. The Lord blesses me. And, you know, talking about blessings, we can't forget about the greatest blessing. In Genesis chapter 12 again. Just going back, and I'll read it. Once again, it says in verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, it says, behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness to the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this his name by which he will be called. The Lord our righteousness. And the most familiar one that we know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Talking about his Son Jesus. What a blessing. What a blessing for this world. You know that Jesus came and he not only told us how to live, but he showed us how to live. Sometimes that doesn't get brought out, but he showed us how to live. He didn't tell us how to have faith. He showed us how to have faith. And he didn't tell us just how to love. He showed us how to love. Think about that. Lord could have left us hanging, but he sent his Son down to show us exactly what he expects. And then he also sent his Son down to be that example. And he also sent his Son down to die for our sins. The greatest gift that can ever be given was his Son. And you know, there's something that bothers me these days. You see it on TV. And it's not coming a lot of times from just, you know, it comes from people who profess to be Christians. And it kind of bothers me. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. And we'll start at verse 38 of chapter 5 of Matthew. I just want to read this so you can get where I'm going. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Verse 43. "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than the others? Do not even the tax collectors do this? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." There are people today who think that the way to fight evil is by fighting them. I mean, violently confrontations. But here, Jesus says something else. He says, love your enemies. People want to sit up and say, it's all right to break the laws. It's all right to forego all that because they're doing wrong and we're right. They preach hate and we preach love. Let's go fight them. God wouldn't care because we're on the right side. What would Jesus do? Let's turn to Luke chapter 22, around verse 47. It says, "And while he was still speaking, Behold, a multitude. And he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, Permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed it. There are people today, Christians, who profess to be Christians, ready to pull out that sword, ready to fight. But we have an example of Jesus right here. Someone who would claim to be his enemy. And let's not make no mistake about it. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. We talk about police brutality. What was about to happen to him would have made police brutality seem like a tickle fight. And yet, he had compassion and he had love for this man. He healed his ear. The very people who was about to abuse him. That's what Jesus would do. Jesus fights hate with love. You know, we talk about Klansmen and we talk about skinheads and we talk about all these different groups. And everybody wants to get up in arms and want to fight them and do this and do that. But that's not what Jesus would do. You fight hate with love. Embarrass them with compassion. Show them that you're above the fray. That's what we do as Christians. Stay out of the political mess. Remember that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not for us to do that. And you know, a lot of this mess wouldn't even happen if people would just ignore it and let it wither on the vine. But I'm just saying that to say this. Let's not get caught up in any of that stuff as Christians. Let's be the example that Jesus set. And always try to do good. This world is evil and will always be evil. All the fighting in the world is not going to change that. But what you can do is like my brother Brock used to say, shade the ground that you walk on. Be the Christian that you can be. Be the example that you could be for Jesus. Count your blessings. One of the problems with these people is they don't count their blessings. You count your blessings. Every time something seems to go wrong, count your blessings. Every time seems to be like there is no way out. Count your blessings. And you will find that not only has the Lord been with you, but he is with you. And he promises to keep on being with you if you continue to be with him. Please take my lesson to heart. And please think about these things as we stand to sing the song that was selected for the Savior's invitation.